If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn to Daniel chapter 6. We're walking through Daniel in a series called Resolved. How do you live out your faith when it seems like the culture is so against what you believe, when you're actually in a hostile culture to the gospel and to the truth? There's never been a time in the United States history. Now, there's been times in the world, and even in other places in the world, it's been hostile to the gospel for a long time. But in the United States, it's never been a time when the culture was so hostile to the truth of God, to the witness of God, and to the people of God. So if we're going to be effective, if we're going to share the gospel, if we're going to live faithfully in a culture that is so anti-Christian, anti-Jesus, I don't want to say anti-God because they're not anti-God. You can talk about God all you want to, as long as you don't specify which God. But if we're going to live out of faith, if we're going to have an impact on a culture that has no interest in the things of the gospel and in the gospel itself, how are we going to do that? What are some things that are necessary for us to develop and allow God to develop in our lives so that we can live faithfully in a hostile culture? Well, we've been looking through Daniel, and if there's ever an example of someone who lived out their faith in a hostile culture, it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Joseph comes to mind if you look back at the story, the life of Joseph and what he experienced. But Daniel in particular. Daniel is in circumstances that are of no doing of his own. He grew up in Jerusalem. He was one of the nobles in Jerusalem. And he and these three other Hebrew young men decided as teenagers, hey, we're going to live our life to count for God. And their desire was, their hope was, that they would live out their life in Jerusalem, helping lead the people of God to worship God and to obey the laws of God and the Word of God. Their context, their desire was to lead God's people to honor Him from Jerusalem. Well, we all know that because of the rebellion of the people over hundreds of years, God had promised that there would be judgment, and judgment has come. Babylon has come and captured Jerusalem and have taken out thousands of the nobles and of the upper class of people, the learned ones. And among those was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were carried off into captivity. They wanted to honor God where they were, but now they find themselves in a culture that doesn't want them to be good Jews. They didn't want them to honor God, and they want them to conform to their way of thinking and become good Babylonians and to help further their cause as the world power in Babylon. And we've been looking at the things that they did that enabled them to stay faithful even at the cost of their life. Most of us have never experienced that type of persecution. Most of us have never had experienced that type of threat. We may have been threatened with losing our job. We may have been threatened with suspension from school. We may have been threatened by being abandoned by some friends or some people that we liked and liked to hang out with. But very seldom have any of us ever had the threat of losing our life. But if we're going to live out our faith in that culture, there's some things we've got to let God develop in us, and we've got to work with Him on. The first one we looked at was they dug their well deep. Before they were ever taken into captivity, they had decided, I'm going to live my life to honor God, to glorify God. They dug their well deep. And then when they were taken in captivity, they just continued what they had already decided to do. No matter what, it wasn't about being rich, it wasn't about being famous, it wasn't about being the head of anything. It was simply their goal in life was to glorify God in their life and with their life. So when they were taken into captivity, it just was natural. The second thing we saw in chapter 2 was their humility. When they were required or asked to bow down before this God that was created, they lived humbly. They didn't stand up and protest. They didn't scream and holler but they walked humbly with their God. And humility goes a long way in a culture that doesn't like what you stand for. For too long, we've stood and shook our fist at culture. We've took our Bible and beat culture up with it. rather than just humbly walking with our God as He tells us that we need to be doing. Then they respectfully declined to bow down. They were patient. We looked at chapters 4 and 5 as Daniel was patient when Belshazzar became king, and for 17 years he didn't have anything to do with Daniel, who had been Nebuchadnezzar's right-hand man, who was Nebuchadnezzar's go-to guy, was Nebuchadnezzar's eventually the one that seems to be that led Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord, where the last thing we see in Nebuchadnezzar's life was that he declared that God was the King of Kings. He was his king, and he called the people to honor him. And then we looked at chapter 5 and 6 and said, hey, these are chronologically out of order. And if you've read through Daniel, you'll see that they're a little bit out of order and out of sync. But he moved from Nebuchadnezzar's death straight into Belshazzar, the handwriting on the wall last week, where he was patient. And when, after 17 years, Belshazzar called him in to interpret, he came in and interpreted without being hateful. Then the last thing in chapter 6 we're going to begin with, I'm sorry, it's not the last thing, but the next thing we're going to look at is chapter 6. This is another one of those passages or events in the life of Daniel and in this book that is probably most known by everyone, Daniel in the lion's den. And I want us to see how Daniel got there and some things that we can glean from his life under this new king. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6, if you'll stand with me as we look at the first 11 verses of chapter 6. It said, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, and they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners or presidents, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among these commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, well, we will not find any ground of accusation against Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows: King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute to enforce an injunction that anyone who makes petition or asks any request of any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast in the lion's den. Now, O king, establish this injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued to kneel on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before God, as he had been doing previously. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, you would be at work in my heart and in the hearts of your people. That, Lord, we would live lives that you can use. That we would be so upright in this culture. That we would live in such obedience to your word. That if people start looking for things to accuse us about, if people start looking for ways to tear us down, God, they won't be able to find any. God, that we'd be upright in our business dealings. That we'd be faithful and true in our dealings with people. God, we'd glorify you in every aspect of our life. God, help us be your representatives. Help us be children of the Most High God so that we can glorify you, so that you can use us to make a difference in the culture in which you've placed us. to reach the lost, to give hope to the hopeless, to bind up the brokenhearted and help the hurting. God, may we live for your glory, not our own. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Darius, after Belshazzar has been defeated, the Babylonians have been taken over. Darius is set up as the king in these Medes and Persian coalition that had come to conquer the world. He was set up as the king over Babylon. He was set up in authority over it. So he decided he was going to get some men, since it was such a vast kingdom, such a vast reign, it couldn't be handled by one central location from Persia. He needed some people that he could trust that would be over this group of people, over these nations, over this vast amount of territory. And the reason that he did this is so that he wouldn't suffer loss. Main thing he's talking about is so that he wouldn't lose any money. He needed men that he could trust, men who were men of integrity that he could put over these different groups or different areas, these different regions of the land that they had conquered, so that they could take the tribute that was taken and then they would pass that back on to him. Well, I don't know about you, but in my dealings and my understanding and my own experience, the most ways that people fall deals with money. Money or sex. Those are the two things that bring most good people down. And the king said, hey, I want to put these men over them, but I've got to have somebody over them that I can trust that can watch them. And he says, I'm going to put these 120 governors over these regions or areas, and then I'm going to appoint three men over these 120, and I'm going to divide this 120 up, and they're going to have responsibility for this group of men so that I don't have any loss. And one of those men was Daniel. And Daniel did such a good job in making sure that the king got what was due the king, that the king said, hey, I want to place him over all of Babylon, over all the conquered area. When he says he's going to put him over the whole kingdom, he wasn't talking about the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, just the conquered kingdom of Babylon. He was so honest, he was so upright, he was so trustworthy that the king said, I want to place him over everything because he's doing such a fine job. See, one of the greatest things that this world is looking for is integrity. The same thing that impressed this king is the same thing that will impress the world today in the church and the people of God is integrity. See, Daniel was in a position where he could have skimmed off all he wanted. He could have took a little extra. He could have lined his pockets. And he could have been just fine, sitting pretty, getting rich because of the position he was in. But yet he chose not to do that. His desire wasn't for his comfort. His desire was to honor God. And see, when our desire is to honor God, it trumps everything else. If our goal is to honor God, if our goal is to glorify God, if our goal is to lift God up, then it's going to cause us to be honest and people of integrity. When nobody's looking, when we've got the opportunity to cheat, when we've got the opportunity to cut corners, when we've got the opportunity to take a little bit that nobody else knows about. See, if our kingdom that we're trying to grow is ours, we can legitimize stealing. We can logically come to a conclusion that it's okay this time. Nobody will find out. It's not going to hurt anything. The king's going to have plenty of money. My boss is still going to do fine. The business is doing good. I can take a little bit here and there, and nobody will know the difference. It's not going to hurt anybody. But if our desire is to glorify God, then the stuff won't matter. See, no matter who the king was, no matter who was in authority over Daniel, Daniel was a man of integrity. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, because Daniel wanted to honor God, Daniel stood out to Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did too, and he elevated them into positions of authority. When Nebuchadnezzar died and Belshazzar was the king, when the king called, Daniel responded. He was there. He served Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar as much as Belshazzar would let him. Now Darius was the king. And he wanted Darius to come to know this God that he had led Nebuchadnezzar to. He wanted Darius to know this God that he served and was the hope of all the world. Darius had everything anybody could want except the peace of God. And Daniel was there so that he could share the love of God, the salvation of God, the truth of God with the king. Now, you may not like the boss you're under. You may not like the folks that you work for. You may not agree with everything that your supervisor tells you to do. But it's not your job to agree or disagree. It's your job to honor God. Now, there are times when if he tells you to do something that does not honor God, there's a time to humbly stand and say, I can't do that. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Just like Daniel is going to do in a little while. There's a time to humbly stand and say, I just can't. And if it costs me my job, that's okay. But I want to honor God with everything. And if you'll let me honor God, God will honor this business. See, Daniel was decided way beforehand to honor God, and now he was walking in integrity. So everybody that he came in contact with, everybody that he was put under their authority was blessed because Daniel was a blessing, because Daniel pursued God. And these other guys got upset. They were mad because Daniel was beginning to be elevated. He wasn't a Babylonian. Now, many historians say that the cause of Belshazzar's overthrow, it wasn't that the army overthrew him, and if you read back in history and research it a little bit, it was somebody in his own court that killed Belshazzar that night. It wasn't an army, but the army was invading, the army was coming in. They killed him and let the army come through without a fight. So they thought, well, we've earned this right to be in leadership because we overthrew Belshazzar. We basically handed the kingdom to the Persians and the Medes. And then when Daniel began to be elevated, they got jealous. And their jealousy caused them to try and find some way to accuse him, some way to tear him down a notch or two, some way to make him look bad in the king's eyes. You ever had anybody at work like that? That thought you got promoted that you didn't deserve, or you were getting some type of special privilege because the boss or the one who's over you saw your honesty and wanted to reward you with some extra things or some extra responsibilities that they thought they should have, and they start trying to spread little rumors, try and find some way to point out a fault or some way that you're being dishonest, some way that you're cheating here or there. People are people, no matter when they are. They were the same thing back then. And they began to look for a way to accuse Daniel, and they couldn't find anything. They began to scour the books. They began to look at his journals. They began to look at his receipts and what he had sent to the king. They began to inspect everything that he did, and they could find nothing to accuse him on because he was a man of integrity. See, this world is looking for authenticity. This world is looking for integrity. This world is looking for a way that people that claim to be Christians to accuse them of wrongdoing. They can't tear down our God, but they can dishonor his name by the people that claim it. And it's so important, church, for us to be people of integrity. It's so important for us to live lives in uprightness before the world, so that when they start looking for opportunities to accuse or start looking at ways that they can tear us down and defame the name of God and say that, hey, this is what they're preaching, but they're not living it, they've got to be able to not find anything, folks. For too long, the greatest damage to the name of God has come through his church. Leaders in the church that fail. Leaders in the church that embezzle money. Leaders in the church that say one thing and live another. People, members of the church that say that they believe this, but when you see them out in the world, they don't live anything according to what they say they believe. People of integrity. That's why the world doesn't like Christians today. It's not because God isn't good. It's because the people of God have been such a poor example. of the difference he can make. We have not been people of integrity. We have not been people of authenticity. For too long, we have been Pharisees. We have been hypocrites rather than authentic followers of the Lord God. Daniel wasn't one of those kind of people. And when Darius came and he began to let Daniel lead, he saw the good things that Daniel was doing, the honesty and uprightness of him. So he began to give him more stuff, and the people got mad and give him more responsibility. The people got jealous, and they said, if we're going to find some way of getting him tore down a notch or two, it's not going to be according to the books, but it's going to be according to the law of his God. So they decided to flatter the king a little bit. O king, live forever. Hey, we got a great idea. All the commissioners and the satraps and all the leaders got together, which was a lie because Daniel wasn't a part of it. We all got together and, hey, we decided that nobody needs to ask any favors, ask anything, offer any prayers to any god or any man other than you. So if anybody asks anything of anyone other than you, because you are God in the flesh, you are a god. So for 1 month, nobody should be able to ask anything of anyone but you. Of course, the king thought that was a great idea. I mean, who wouldn't want to? Man, I'm the man. I'm ruling the world. Now they're going to all pray to me. They played on his pride. He signed it. Then if you continue to read the story, they came together again in agreement and went to Daniel's house. It says that when Daniel heard that the decree had been signed, he just kept doing what he'd always been doing. He didn't make a big show of it. He didn't try and put it in anybody's face. He didn't change. He didn't try and hide. He just kept doing what he'd always been doing, worshiping God, seeking God's face, wanting to honor God. He just kept loving the Lord. And see, that's something we need to learn today. Man, there are laws that are going to be passed that we don't like. There are going to be things that are written out that this world is going to decide that we're not going to like. And sometimes the worst thing we can do is pick up a picket sign, get on Facebook, and start bashing the world. See, the greatest thing we can do is stay on our knees before the Lord. The greatest thing we can do is just simply humbly keep following God. Not trying to hide who we are, but not trying to beat people up with it either. I've said it before, I don't think Jesus ever walked with a picket sign. There are things that we need to oppose. There are things that we need to stand up for. There are things that we need to try and make sure we vote for people that are against abortion and against the things of homosexual marriage and all these things. We need to vote for people like that. But the last thing this world needs to do is see another mad Christian. Yeah, we need to express and try and lead our country to righteousness. But this world is the world. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but most in our government don't give a rip about God. So why do we think they should make laws that honor God? Unfortunately, the leadership comes from the pool of citizens in the United States. And the vast number of citizens in the United States don't care about God. So when Daniel found out that this law had been passed, he just kept right on doing what he was doing. He kept praying. He kept getting on his knees. The window was open towards Jerusalem. If you'll read back in Jeremiah and Isaiah, and as they talked about, and even in Leviticus, as they talked about, hey, if you're ever taken into captivity, face Jerusalem and pray towards Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was the place where God had placed his name that said, hey, I'm going to dwell in Jerusalem. So you pray to God. Jerusalem was the local manifestation, the earthly manifestation of God's presence in heaven. He said, you pray towards me. You look to me for deliverance. Daniel was faithful. He was a man of integrity because it didn't matter. Against the law, or the law was for him, he was praying to God. He was seeking God. Didn't change the fact what the law said. Didn't change the fact what the culture said. He just simply kept doing what a man of God does. One who follows Christ does. seek the Lord. Well, they caught Daniel praying. They brought him before Darius. Darius figured out, hey, I've been trapped. These guys came and said, hey, didn't you sign a decree that nobody was asking anything of any god or any man besides you? Yeah, I did. Well, old Daniel, this Jew. Now notice, it's been almost 70 years that Daniel has been in captivity. It's been almost 70 years that he has been in this culture. And they still know him as a Jew. A man of the people of God. See, he didn't lose his identity. He didn't become a good Babylonian. He served faithfully. He was a man of integrity. But he was known to worship the one true and the living God. For after 70 years of dealing with this culture, after 70 years of struggle, he was known as one who follows God. Man, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? You know, when I die, there's no greater thing that anybody could say about me. He was a man who loved God. He was a man who served God faithfully. No matter what, he loved God and he loved people. No matter what, he was a man of integrity. No matter what, he lived for the glory of God. See, that's all Daniel wanted. That's all Daniel wanted to hear. Was well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well, the king sees he's trapped and he can't change. He spent the whole night trying to figure out a way to undo what's been done. But according to the law, when something was written down, it couldn't be reversed. So he had to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel came before him. Daniel wasn't begging for his life. Daniel wasn't saying, I was framed, I'm innocent. Daniel was guilty. He had prayed to the Lord. He had went against the law. He knew that it would cost him his life if he was found out. He didn't try to hide it. He was willing to die on that hill. I got a question for you. What hill are you willing to die on? What are you willing to die for? Are you willing to die for just to pray to the Lord? Oh, well, I could just get in my closet and nobody would see it, and I could still pray and nobody would know. There's no such thing as a closet Christian. So he began to stand before Darius, and Darius tells him, says, look, I've been trying. Verse 20 says, when he had come near to the... I've jumped too far ahead. Verse 16, the king gave orders and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to him, Daniel, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of the nobles so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. And the king arose at dawn at the break of day and went in at haste to the lion's den. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? See, Darius had heard about this God that Daniel served. Darius had experienced the difference that this God makes in Daniel's life. And so he began to understand there's something different about the God that Daniel serves than the God of all these Babylonians and the Persians and the Medes. He's different from any other God in the world. And he came that next morning to say, did this God whom you serve, did this God save you from the lions? See, the world wants to see a difference. The world is looking for something to believe in. The world is looking for a God to serve. The world is looking for someone to give them hope. They're looking for a God that is real, a God that transforms, a God that makes a difference. And see, they're not going to know that God if you and I don't live differently. If we're not people of integrity, that we serve God no matter what, humbly walking before our God, just like He tells us in Micah 6:8, God's told you, O man, what is good. to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justice. Do the right thing, no matter what. Love mercy. Not just receiving, but giving mercy. Be known as people of mercy and grace. And walk humbly with your God. And when we do those three things, like Daniel did those three things, the world will take notice. They'll see that our God is different from Allah. Our God is different from Buddha. Our God is different from Confucius. Our God is different from the God who inhabits nature. That our God is real. And then when the trouble comes and the hard times come and they see us honoring God and they see God show up in miraculous ways, then they'll know that's the God they're looking for. See, the problem is we don't want to put ourselves in a position to wind up in the lion's den so God can show up. We want God to work miracles, but we don't want to walk by faith so that He can. See, God just doesn't do miracles to do miracles. He doesn't make it rain miracles just to show off. He does miracles because His people are walking by faith and He keeps His promises. If you want a miracle, you've got to put yourself in position to need a miracle. Daniel was willing to do that. He was willing to go to the lion's den so God could show up. You know, if Daniel had never went to the lion's den, Darius would have never made the profession that he made. The world would have just thought he was just another god like all the other gods. But look at Daniel. Verse 21. Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. He still was respectful to the king, the one who threw him in the lion's den. O king, live forever. King, I'm still here for you. I'm still here with you. I'm still the man that wants to see you prosper. My God has sent His angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before Him, God, and also toward you. O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. And so Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he had trusted God. Because he had trusted God. Because he had trusted God. See, God shows up when we trust Him. God moves when we trust Him. When our whole desire is to honor Him, not just to be comfortable. When our prayer is, God, make this lion's den count for You. But too often our prayer is, God, keep me out of the lion's den. God, take this trouble away. God, take this sickness away. God, take this hurt away. God, take this boss that I don't like away. God, make my circumstances better. Rather than, God, make my circumstances count. I'm going to trust You. When I prayed for this mountain to move, and You don't move the mountain. When I've asked You to part the waters that I can walk through it, but yet You don't part the waters. Still going to trust You. When I prayed for healing and You don't give it, I'm still going to trust You. When I've prayed for miraculous intervention so that things will be better, yet You don't show up, I'm still going to trust You. I'm still going to glorify You. I'm still going to worship You. I'm still going to walk with You. Verse 24, then the king gave orders that they brought those men who had had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, their wives, in the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then Darius, verse 25, the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in the land. He says, may peace abound. Now this is from the king that's conquered them. May peace abound. See, the world needs to hear, may peace abound. But they need to know who can bring that peace. He goes on, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the Lord God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. See, Daniel was a man of integrity. Daniel honored God no matter where he was at. Daniel chose to honor God no matter what it cost. He wasn't afraid to go to the den of lions. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't afraid to be thrown in the fire. They said, King, you don't have to ask us one more time to bow down. Our God can deliver us, but if he chooses not to, we're still going to honor him. See, Daniel didn't know that God was going to keep him safe from the lions. Daniel had no clue what God's plan was, but he was willing to go to the den and die rather than dishonor God. See, that's where I want to be. Because so often my faithfulness to God is tied to how God answers my prayers. For too long, that's been the way I have functioned. That's been the way we as a church have functioned all over globally, especially in the West. If God doesn't do what we want him to do when we want him to do it, he must be mad. I must have done something wrong. He must not care. He's not making it better. And we lose our witness. When the world wants to know if our God is big enough, even when he doesn't answer us like we want him to, are we still going to trust him? God showed up for Daniel. He showed up for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there's been a lot of times when people did and are still standing before this culture, refusing to deny God and paying with their life. In this past century, there have been more people martyred for the cause of Christ than all the other centuries put together. There have been more Christians beheaded, crucified, set on fire, drowned, shot. All types of horrible things happen because they refuse to honor God, refuse to deny God and choose to honor him with their life. They know that God is the God of the living and the dead. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And until this world sees people are so in love with their God and walk so humbly with their God that no matter what, they're going to worship him, and they see that their God caused them to live differently in the world. People of integrity. People that can be trusted, even by people that hate them. When they can see that, that's a God that they're willing to hear about. If we're going to live a life that honors God in the culture that we're in, and the culture seems to be moving quickly and rapidly to being, let's say, adverse to the gospel, they've got to see people of integrity that practice what they preach, that do what God says. That's why Jesus said, don't just be effectual hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. We got to put it in practice, and we got to trust him no matter what. And when people see that, they'll see the difference that God makes. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God, and see the difference that God can make in the people that he's placed in your path. Let's be people of integrity. But you know, you can't walk with God if you don't know God. God knows our failures. He knows our frailty. He knows our sin. And He sent His Son Jesus to die so that we might know Him, be forgiven of our sins, made into a new creature with new possibilities and new potential. Jesus died for you. Jesus lived for you. Jesus rose on the third day for you. He's done everything that's necessary for your sins to be forgiven and your life to be transformed if you'll just surrender and follow Him. Today would be a great day to surrender your life to this God who loves you that much. See the difference He can make in you and your family. Church, are we people of integrity? Do we not give the world ammunition and cause to not trust God? Or are we living faithfully under the authority of God? Living faithfully in the joy of God. Let's stand. You may not be facing a lion's den. You might just be facing a tough time at work. You might be facing some decisions that you're struggling with. You might be facing some temptations. Whatever they are, be a person of integrity. It's because it's in those difficult times when the world watches the closest to see how we're going to react. It's in our troubles that we have the loudest witness and the greatest opportunity to glorify God. Choose today to honor God in those troubles, whatever they are. Let's pray. Lord God, we